Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff, and of course, Deviant Legion. And with me, as always, is my girl Nadia, otherwise known as Miss Rachel. Say hello, Miss Rachel.
Damn, Carl and go.
Moose and squirrel. Yes.
Carl and so go.
So today we are doing a commentary watch in honor of the passing of Alan Arkin, who is one of my favorite actors. And of course, we did the last week we did the memorial podcast for him, but today we're going to be watching one of his later films and the one that he won an Academy Award for as Best Supporting Actor, and that's Little Miss Sunshine. Now, Miss Rachel, you know this film, right? But you've never seen it, correct?
I know of the film, and I've heard, like, so much about it. Now, I can't tell you the exact premise. I just know there's, like, a child pageant and a weird family and some sort of road trip. But I do know that it has a lot of my favorites in it. Like, Arkin, of course. I mean, yes, the long goodbye and all that. Good job, bleh. You know, change your bathrobe 50 times in six different
No,
movies.
That's how it's Gould, by the way, but that's okay.
Oh, that is Gould. I'm so sorry. I was looking at Gould and Arkin on the same day, and my brain is just so confused right now. I am sorry for that fuck-up, guys. That was Elliot Gould. He's got a bathrobe thing. Arkin, on the other hand, love the guy. I have seen him in so many of our commentaries that we've done, but this is one that has been on my list. I've been meaning to get to it. I just haven't yet.
Well, now you have. And to be honest, I kind of like you as the virgin. You know,
I know.
I do.
You know, I've heard that more than once in my life.
Well, I'm not going to go
tell
there.
Tell everybody.
Okay. So
anyway, you want to give us some background on this, Carl?
Sure. Sure. Well, first I'm going to say we are watching this on HBO, or actually it is now called Max, and it is free, so that's a good thing. So if you have Max, you can watch it free. I'm sure it's on Amazon too, and of course you might have a DVD or a Blu-ray of it. The film itself, okay, let me just get there for a second so I give you the right information. Came out in 2006. It's they call it a tragic comedy. I call it more of a black comedy road film. And it was the feature film directorial debut of the husband-wife team of Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris. And the screenplay was written by first-time writer Michael Arndt. And these are all first-timers, man. And boy, they hit it out of the park, because when it premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, Fox Searchlight bought the distribution rights, and one of the biggest deals in the history of the festival. And it garnered so many awards and that sort of thing. And that's basically what we needed to say right now. And again, this is one of Alan Arkin's best roles. And I love his character. And
I'm glad that this is the one that we're doing for the commentary watch, because I have heard the same thing, that it is one of his best flipping roles. And just, he is amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody's amazing. I'm so excited because, like I said, this is just one of those ones. It's been on my list. I just haven't gotten around to it, and I'm so sorry, but, like, I watch so many different shows and movies, like, all the time that I didn't even get to Ruby Sparks until a couple years ago. So, like, just, you know,
Maybe that's why you're on to Elliot Gould, because he's in Ruby Sparks. Damn good movie, too.
That's actually, that is what it was. He came up in Ruby Sparks when I was looking at Arkin for something the other day. So, wow, weird correlation there, guys, but that's exactly what happened. Thank you for not necessarily understanding, but at least being there on the same wavelength as me.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. You don't understand my crazy, but at least you're the same kind of crazy. So.
Exactly. That's why we get along so well. That's why you're my co-host.
Well, and speaking of co-hosts and guest hosts, my beautiful, wonderful husband, Jeremy, is on vacation from work this week, so he's not working overnights. And once he's done fixing my beautiful privacy fence for me, he wants to come in and be in on this too. So
in
the next few minutes, we're probably going to have another special guest. Like, I've been bringing them all up these past few weeks, huh?
Yeah, Ashton and now Jeremy, always welcome. Always welcome.
Absolutely.
So the one thing I have to say about HBO right now, if you're on HBO, you need to get through a couple of ads. And then when you see the HBO logo comes up, that's where we're going to start. Okay, so just so that everyone gets a chance to...
We've already blasted through our advertisements. So we're both, like, paused at... Well, HBO, the new Max app is weird. It doesn't give you the start time on something. So I don't know that I'm at double aughts, but I tried and tried and tried again to get it as close as I could to the very opening HBO logo.
Yeah, I actually was able to get to 000, but yeah, you're right about that. Let me just do one other thing. I always like to adjust my volume too now before we start.
Oh,
so are you ready?
I am ready. I have been ready for a few minutes.
Okay, so we're going to do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, and we start when I say go. So here we begin. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
And there we are. HBO movie presentation.
Box Searchlight.
Well, yeah, usually HBO is in conjunction with Box Searchlight.
Mm-hmm.
And that opening music right there is completely iconic. Like, it represents a lot of my childhood and watching movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially movies on TV.
Agreed. And there she is, Abigail Breslin.
So, weird fact, fun fact about Rachel here. I used to get my hair done by the guy who did Miss Arkansas's hair. When the Miss Arkansas that became Miss USA or whatever.
Yep. So as a young girl, did you ever want to be in a beauty pageant?
Absolutely not. I mean, first off, let's just face it, Carl. I always knew there wasn't a fucking chance for me. B, I was never one of those performers like that. And I always saw the sick, fucked up underside of things. I mean, you know, my mom worked at the crime lab, so there were a lot of things going on back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Now that is Greg Kinnear. And he's doing, of course, one of those, it's almost like a TED Talk before TED Talks.
Yeah, but it also looks vaguely like an MLM.
Okay, explain what that is.
Multi-level marketing scheme?
Yeah.
Like a pyramid scheme?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, my ex-in-laws even tried to get my eldest into some beauty pageants when they were like 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that I've always been like really, really against stuff like that. I mean, of course, I grew up in the JonBenet Ramsey years, so let's just, you know, too soon. Not even going to talk about that. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. You know how I feel about pageants and that they're kind of like, you know, free reign.
Okay, so I just need to say this right now. This is very important. What you're seeing right now.
Yeah, I see.
That's Arkin snorting heroin.
That looks like coke, honey.
No, it's actually a PowerPoint.
Okay. Oh, Toni Collette?
Yes.
I fucking forgot she was in this movie. I love her. You know that I love anything with Toni in it, Carl.
Well, we actually did a wonderful movie called The Way, Way Back with her and Steve Carell.
Yeah. Apparently they work really well together.
Yes. And earlier we saw Paul Dano as very, very young Paul Dano. It was one of his first supporting roles that he ever had.
Oh, and this is going to be an interesting Carell. Okay, I'm going to love this movie, aren't I, Carl?
Yes, you are. He's a suicidal Proust scholar. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, I'm already loving this. I'm
That's okay. And set in New Mexico, which I always found interesting.
Is that animal dead? So, yeah, we've got an obviously suicidal Steve Carell looking so jacked up, and I'm loving it. Because, like I said, we already know that means he's going to be playing one of his weird ones.
And by the way, Paul Dano, who's the son?
Yeah.
He has a vow of silence, so he doesn't talk at all.
I mean, they were probably going to explain that in the movie, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's Beth Sarasusa. I love that book, by the way. I'm a big Nietzsche fan.
Yeah, isn't that your other degree, philosophy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
See, I listen sometimes. Okay. Telling the kid with a vow of silence to be quiet.
Still has Sesame Street sheets.
When I first saw it, the whole thing with Nietzsche, it was just like, I loved this movie from the start. I'm sorry, I bumped you. Go ahead.
No, it's cool.
Now, Paul Dano, you'll know him from There Will Be Blood, also Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
Very fine actor.
Absolutely. And what I was going to say earlier is notice who's on his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's Charles Manson. Maybe not. That's not a... Never mind. I lied.
I love it that it's Dinah's chicken dinner in the kitchen with Dinah.
Those are actually drinking out of old ass McDonald's glasses. The fucking chicken, man. Okay.
So we are definitely talking about a dysfunctional family, if you haven't realized already.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, sorry I've been so quiet. I just, like, there's so much to take in.
Oh, yeah. And it's been a while since I've seen this, too. It's been a number of years. For example, I just forgot that he was gay in this film.
Yeah. Like, I did not realize either. I mean, honestly, when you see the previews, you kind of think he's the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm that person at family parties. I'm the oversharer. It's like, oh, you haven't seen me in 10 years and you're finally going to ask me about my life? word vomit.
That was a mistake on your part, but here goes.
And, yeah, this whole, like, trying to explain death and suicide and happiness and things to a relatively small child, that's just too much fun. Sorry, I have a large dog trying to creep into my lap right now.
Bernie?
No, actually, this one is Sally, the smallest of the large dogs.
Hi, Sally.
But yeah, she's one of those ones that has no spatial awareness, and she's like the embodiment of the meme that's like, shh, quiet. I'm just gonna creep on in here. You just don't even notice me.
Yeah, she's that.
Ah, I hate that noise. Ah.
You know, how old was she at this point? She was only like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
And she's turned into quite the actress.
She has. Oh.
Horse area.
Oh man, I know some horse people, and dude, if you're gonna be a horse person as an adult, that is your life. It's always got to be somebody named Stan Grossman. Box of ice cream on the table. Oh, ice cream bars, even. Popsicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are fancy popsicles. They have a stick in them. We still get the ones that are in the plastic tube. You know, the juice tube popsicles.
Mm-hmm. I like those. I actually get the fruit bars, frozen fruit bars from Amazon, and they have, like the mango actually has bits of mango in it.
Oh, I don't know. I told you about those because I get the strawberry ones.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the fruit and cream bars are good too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ah, damn it.
We're all with you, Dwayne. One of the things about this film, which I read in an interview with Harkin, that he Abigail were so close that he didn't want to break character during off time. So he always was in character, even with her. And they developed a really close bond. When Arkin passed away, she wrote something that basically said, Arkin, you know, Alan will always be my grandpa, no matter what.
Oh. And we do need to remember that that's the reason that we're watching this film today is Alan Arkin and, you know, his incredible legacy. And this is one of the last things he did, if not the last thing.
Oh, no, he did the Comiskey method. He did the Comiskey method, which he won a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And holy shit, he dies in the – oh, sorry, spoiler alerts here. Cover your ears. He dies in the Comiskey method, and that wasn't even my favorite show ever, but I bawled my fucking eyes out. And oh my God, this is one of my favorite songs, Chicago by Sif John Stevens, which
I
first
love
heard when...
The Volkswagen bus, too.
Yeah.
This is another road trip, like the way, way back, where it's an old vehicle, and I like that.
I guess... Sorry, like...
I've been on the highway before. I know exactly. That's Route 40. Interstate Route 40, man.
God, he was great in Kominsky Method. Jesus Christ.
There isn't a, I've never seen him do, well, actually, that's not completely true. There's one performance that was not good. Better
and
than
that
the movie.
Was?
Okay, so the one that really sucked was Fire Cell, which he actually directed. The one that's very problematic is Inspector Clouseau, which was a movie that Peter Sellers refused to do. This is in 1960.
Yeah.
And it was an absolute mess. But Arkin actually is rather funny in it. He plays it quite differently than Sellers.
I still got nothing bullets in my ass. Yeah, I mean,
our road trips weren't this bad, but trust me, the Kafer road trips were rather interesting. And I was caught in the middle. I was in the militarized zone between my brother and my sister in the back seat.
And see, I was an only child, so my road trips consisted of reading, napping, and, like, coloring and snacking in the back seat. Because my parents would always be talking. Or it was just me and my mom, and a lot of times she has some driving trauma, so she's been working for most of her life to get over that, and therapy and medication has helped, but she's one of those people that has to seriously focus when she's driving.
By the way, I have actually been in that restaurant.
I mean, I would just love to go to a restaurant like that. It looks like a roadside cafe kind
That's
of
exactly
dining
what it
thing.
Is. Mm-hmm. You can see the access road back behind there.
Yep. You know how I feel about weird diners and shit.
Oh, I love diners.
Any, she said anything under $4.
Yes, she did.
I was interested in what Frank was saying.
Yeah. Well, he's a scholar. Carell's character, I really like Carell's character.
Yeah.
And you know who's sort of forgotten when we talk about all the actors here? It's Toni Collette. Toni Collette is the heart and soul of this film.
I'm already hating Dad. Like, I want to punch him in his stupid half-tan face.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a bit of an asshole, but because of some of the things that happen, he turns out not so bad.
Sorry about that. The dog just found something interesting.
No.
Oh my God. Like, no. But, that makes me so uncomfortable and angry and sick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was sweet of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry, I would have already taken him in the back and punched him in the face, but... And I'm sorry, but Toni Collette, in anything that I've seen her in the past couple of years, has been, no matter what her role is, has been the heart and soul of the production.
Yeah. Have you seen her?
You're doing it. How hard can it be?
Hereditary?
I have, but you don't want to ask my opinion about that one.
But I will say this. She's very good in it. She really is.
Yeah, from what I remember, she was. But it was one of those movies that was so hyped to me.
Yeah, I agree.
That when I finally saw it, I was like, what the fuck are you going on about? Aw. Look, she's getting some free CrossFit training there. My ex used to live across the street from a CrossFit gym, and it was so funny. Like, we didn't have to turn on the TV. We just opened the drapes in the front window and watch these CrossFit idiots up and down the sidewalk with their big-ass tires and shit. Because they didn't stay at the gym. It was a little neighborhood. And so they would be up and down the sidewalks and just doing all their crazy training with their giant ropes and their huge tires. And just, oh, my God. You could always tell when it was a new class because the tires would fall over and, like, into the road, and they'd have to try and cross traffic to go get it. I love what a grandpa he is, too. Like, he's got the socks and the sandals going.
Oh, yeah. Now, so that's something we haven't talked about in terms of one of the things that Rachel is really good about is costuming. So what do you think of the costume so far?
Absolutely perfect. Oh, and I don't know if you've noticed, but Carell, his character, think he's a bit of a germaphobe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice he wasn't touching the car? He was pushing with one portion of his forearm.
Mm-hmm.
With the sleeve pulled over his hand, and he was pushing with the sleeved portion of his arm. Now, he's a germaphobe. I don't think they've brought that up yet, but I guarantee you.
They're going on East 10. I know exactly where they are, too.
See, this is crazy, because where are they coming from? Oh, you said New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
So that's not really far if they're going to California. I thought it was more of like a cross-country thing.
Don't kid yourself. It's a ways.
Well, Jeremy said 800 miles. Actually, he's been in here for a little bit, so I should probably, like, put my phone on speaker for a minute and let him have a chat with you. I will be right back, guys.
See you. Hello there. I have definitely traveled on this road a lot.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I traveled. My folks were in Albuquerque. And I made it from Albuquerque to Fresno a couple of times, too. And there's Harkin. Now, Jeremy, we're doing this in honor of Alan Harkin because he passed away last week.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he's actually, he won an Academy Award for this, for Best Supporting.
Yeah, I think this movie won a few awards, didn't it?
Yeah, it won 2 Academy Awards for Best Screenplay, Original Screenplay, and for Best Supporting Actor. It was up for Best Picture, did not win. Won many, many Independent Spirit Awards.
Yeah, I remember watching it not too long after it came out on DVD, but only saw it the one time. Oh, back when payphones still existed.
Yep.
Looking like Mr. Winner is not the winner.
Shit. Get yourself a fag rag. places where you could go in and get actual porn. And of course, he has to come in contact with character that made him try to commit suicide.
Yeah, wow. So, like, how freaking awkward is that? You're buying pornos when you meet up with what is obviously his ex.
And, of course, he also has bandages on.
Yeah.
This has its moments where it's tough. I mean, it's definitely a comedy. But
it's a black comedy for sure.
Yeah.
That look right there, I am very familiar with giving that look to people.
Mostly me.
I'm not going to say anything. Okay?
But my kids are well-versed in that look, too, I just have to say. Oh, and that right there.
Well,
yeah. I've been that bitch in the car before.
When I was growing up, we had the doghouse with this little, like, thing you hung up on the wall. We each had a dog, and if we did something wrong.
Oh, my God. My biological father and his siblings had one of those.
Yeah. And you always knew you were in trouble when you heard, Carl Ayers Schaefer, come here. They used your whole name. You were like shit.
Oh, yeah. If you get three named, you in fucking trouble.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Go on, Grandpa, with your wild old self.
Harkin in this movie is sort of the conscience of this film. Maybe a little fucked up, but still.
And God, isn't that how it always is on a road trip when you have to go to the, not even a hotel, it's like a motel?
Oh, yeah.
Like some no-tell motel, and you've been fighting all day because that's what happens on road trips. And
yep.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, I know. Trust me, I know.
Although, I just still have to say that, you know, when you, Jeremy, and myself took that road trip, I think we did pretty fucking well.
Oh, I thought so, too. We ended up seeing Steven, and that was good. And, you know.
Such good food.
We were
such
on a couple,
good times.
And we were on a couple of roads that were like, wow. I remember that one time we were, it was, got like foggy.
Yeah.
We're on that country road.
Good Lord.
I don't know how many motel rooms like this I've been in, but seven.
God. Me too. And I mean exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although usually we can't afford the ones with windows on both sides.
Right.
Yeah, we got to get the rooms on the first floor.
Of course, we did, and you found something very special.
Yes, yes, I did. That was a very special trip. I have that same hat, only it usually goes on the life-size skeleton on our front porch, but that's because it's a Svengoolie hat, and that's why our skeleton's name is Sven.
Nice. I liked him.
Yeah, Sven is fun. Aw. I love that he's still wearing his fanny pack. Aw.
I love how it's parked.
Yeah, it's all about the hill.
We have some rowdy teenagers outside, so I apologize about that.
Every time I see somebody on a scooter, I keep thinking of Eddie Izzard's deal where he's talking about everybody in Italy rides a scooter and goes, ciao.
Ciao. Yeah.
Ciao. That's why he wears the fanny.
Exactly.
Child. Speaking of, I have a bowl very similar to what they had on the front desk over there, and it's Italian glass.
Is that the one on the dining room table?
Yeah. Actually, it's Milanese glass. What a douche! Oh my god! Like, damn, that is harsh.
Ah.
Okay, so why was the speed limit sign on the wrong side of the road?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Well, he was driving away from it, and he could see the speed limit. Which means if it was for the other side of the freeway, it was still on the left side, and they don't put the speed limit signs on the left side. All the signs go on the right side of the road, so.
Maybe it's for the drunk drivers.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I let my kids dress themselves, and so far their costuming is on point.
Good.
She got some cowboy boots with some Daisy Dukes and weird T-shirts. Some armbands.
And you know now, of course, that grandpa is not well.
Well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just feel like wise old-ass grandpa here wouldn't be snorting heroin if he was still in peak health, you know?
Right. That I think that's a really nice bit with Dano.
Yeah.
Go hug mom.
So grandpa dies in the middle of the road trip?
Yep.
Damn. Although I really like that watercolor in the background. With the tree?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Damn. If I'd have known his character died in the middle of the fucking movie, I wouldn't have picked this one for his fucking memorial watch. Yeah, blame it on me. I picked this one, guys. This is my fault.
So basically, halfway through the movie, he dies, okay? But he is a force throughout the movie. Trust me. Trust me.
Dude, are they going to have to Weekend at Bernie's this shit?
Yep, they are. They are.
I love her. You're not the only one that's had somebody die here today, okay?
This is beautiful. Just trust me, I just.
As I said, he might die in the middle of the movie, but he's very, very much a part of this film from here on in.
They're in the wrong room, aren't they?
No, they're in the wrong room.
No, they are. I don't think this guy gets enough credit for being a good actor.
What, Greg Kinnear?
Yes.
Oh, I agree. I agree. He his best role was in Autofocus. He played Bob Crane, who was star of Hogan's Heroes and a very sick person. A film called Autofocus, and he should have won. He should have been up for an Academy Award for that.
I love this already. This is killing me. Take his dead ass there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like how he's like, as he's explaining this, he's already prepping, like wrapping the sheets around him and shit. Like, we're going to do this. Okay. We're going to take mommy, dad, to this goddamn pageant. And all I have to say is this is the kind of, these are relationship goals, okay? I mean, of course you have to be the one that initially is like, okay, no, we can't do this. This is fucking crazy. Stop it. What are you talking about? And then she just like 180s in a fucking half a heartbeat, man. A lamb didn't even have time to shake its tail. And she was like, all right, okay, let's do this. And she starts tucking too. And I like how the other guys, like the son and the brother here, just like on board, no questions asked. I mean, of course, one can't really ask questions, but he could have bitchy note on his little pad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're just totally cool with, yeah, let's chuck mummified grandpa out the window real quick. It's cool. Hey, and I'm just saying, if you're, like, carrying a couple hundred pounds of dead weight, it's going to be at least that awkward, if not more.
Yeah. So the story is they're actually carrying Arkin, by the way.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I wasn't paying attention. They had Arkin strapped to not a cardboard gurney, but like a plywood gurney. And they had a breathing apparatus. And
this is just great. Hey, but I understand it. When you're running late, if you got places to fucking be, you're going to wrap up a dead body and chuck it in the back to get there. I mean, that's how I am.
And they're doing this for Olive. Don't forget that.
Him in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even though Dad's mad that he fucking overdosed, he's still like, you know, he did a good thing helping Olive out.
You could see how things are progressing with the characters, too. And Carol and Dano and everybody, they start.
Tender moment. Cut off by stupid ass machinery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
I forgot about this thing.
Everybody be normal. No one is normal.
Nope. No one ever is. And by the way, this is one of those movies, even in the smallest of roles, like this cop here, they're really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I love the oil well in the back. You know, they pick their locations pretty well.
Yeah.
As I said, Alan Arkin is in this movie for the whole time, even though he's not.
Sweet, sweetness, buns and ammo.
It's a beautiful thing.
Have you ever had your horn stick, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
I have, and it was the first time it happened. I about lost my shit. I did not know what to do. And I finally figured it out. And, like, once I figured out what to do, I ripped the fuse out for that horn so fucking quick.
Yep.
Is he fucking with them? Oh my God, that means he can't be a pilot.
Exactly.
At first I thought he was fucking with his sister, like playing a stupid game. But no, it took me a second, but God damn. God, oh man, oh. I can't believe I almost said this in the beginning of the movie when, you know, we figured out he took the vow of silence.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I really hope the first thing he says in this movie is like a really loud fuck. But now I'm glad I didn't say it because I would totally have to take it back because that really loud fuck right there, oh my God. I'm sorry, my coughs are coming back a little. I need to take some more water. But
this, dude, you know, the thing about this movie is you can tell they love each other. And that's the whole thing. This has a really, really good heart to it. And this is one of the reasons this film did so well. Because you can not only sympathize and empathize, but you can almost see yourself in them.
I they're getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I missed that part.
No, you didn't miss that part. And this is where it comes out that they were definitely considering divorce. And the whole thing was, he said to wait until this deal came through.
Down actually hurts more than Grandpa dying, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really fucking hurts. I mean, he was so devoted. 9 months, not a fucking word.
Yeah.
But was he really devoted to becoming a pilot, or was he devoted to getting away from the family? Because I, too,
that's
right,
a good
in
question.
Between.
That actually is a really good question, which is not answered.
I grew up between two military bases, and, of course, we had recruiters all the time at the school, and that was one of the things that, like, people had to figure out, are you trying to join the military because you want to or because you want to get away?
This is a lovely thing. This truly is.
Well, there's a lot of tender moments in this movie so far. And, oh, my God. I had almost that exact same dinosaur t-shirt when I was a kid, except mine was like a dark maroon purple. But yeah, mm-hmm. It has the brontosaurus on it and shit. And I know that they're not technically real dinosaurs anymore or something like that, but yeah.
Who the fuck cares? They're dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, kind of interesting to see that, like, they're not the most well-off people.
They're not.
I mean, if you look at my brontosaurus t-shirt like that I still have in a box at my mom's house somewhere, it says 1983 on the trademark logo under the dinosaur. So, yeah, she's wearing a very hand-me-down vintage t-shirt right there.
They made it.
Not yet, damn it. They haven't gotten over the bridge. You never fucking know. Yeah, see, I called it there.
Yes,
you can't say they made it until they get there. Yeah, and when you finally get to your destination on the road trip and you're like so pissed off and you're trying to get to where you're supposed to have been getting the whole time and you're almost there and take a wrong turn, it's like, fuck it. I'm going down the one-way street. I'm hitting the motherfucking sidewalk, the boardwalk. I don't care. I will make this van float. I'm not turning around.
In my day, when we did a road trip, I had to take care of the maps and get my dad to where he wanted to go. Let me tell you something. Nobody else wanted to do that. Nobody. And it was kind of scary for a 7-year-old to do that. But I got really fucking good at it.
You know, and I used to have to do map duties, too. I learned how to read a map really early. And I've always been coming back and forth between North Little Rock and Memphis. So, I mean, obviously, I didn't have to read a map for that. It's a straight shot. We did so many weird road trips over the years. Like, I didn't ever even get onto a plane for the first time until I was, I think, 18 or 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we drove everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I love this woman. God, who is she? She's
I'll look it up.
So much shit.
Hold on, I have it set up here.
They're all fucking crazy. Oh, yeah. Jeremy's here in the background.
That
going, yes, they are.
Mary
They're all fucking
Lynn
crazy.
Raska. Mary Lynn Raska, pageant assistant Pam.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen her in just about everything.
I'm looking here. Oh, God. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yep.
Criminal Minds,
oh, she...
Dinner in America? She's all over the place.
That's actually what I remember her from recently is Criminal Minds. But, yeah. I love how sweet the Miss America lady's being.
Mm-hmm.
But that is part of what they have to do as pageant queens. Is they actually have to do community service and charity work and shit like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's actually where I was going with that earlier is they did my ex-in-laws tried to get my kid at like 2.5 years old into a pageant. And again, knowing how I felt about pageants, I was like, okay, you want my kid to be in a pageant? Sure. Under one condition. And they were like, okay, anything, anything. And I was like, no makeup. And they tried to argue
yep.
with me. And I was like, if this isn't a free pedophile show, and this is really about how cute and talented my kid is, and needless to say, my kid never ended up in a pageant.
Yep.
So... And now they're non-binary and wonderful, and I'm really glad that they don't have some sort of, you know, pageant legacy to look back on and be like, why the fuck did you do that to me, Mom? Because, yeah, I mean, I hated it even when I was in dance class and we had to do that stuff. Once or twice a year, we'd have our little recitals or whatever, and we'd have to put on makeup because the dance studio would rent out the fucking performance hall or whatever. And, yeah, we'd get on stage with all the lights, and I hated it. Acting, no problem. Although, genuinely, I really did prefer the more behind-the-scenes aspect of things.
Yeah.
But... I was decent enough on stage. Oh, sorry, like all of this makes me sick. Before my kid was born, because their cousin is a little bit older than them, I had to go see the little cousin in a few pageants, and I just felt so skeevy being there.
Okay, this is worth the price of admission. I'm just going to warn you right now.
This what?
This is worth the price of admission.
The Republicans are going to ban anything. They need to ban that.
Now, if you want one of the best satires on beauty pageants, there's a movie that came out in the 70s called Smile, which is really something.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sitting here just absolutely aghast. I mean, I know that this happens, but I'm agreeing with Jeremy in the background who's screaming, if the Republicans are going to ban anything, they need to ban this shit. This is literally churning my stomach right now. Like, I feel really sick.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. She is just, like, so... She's a real kid.
No.
Yeah, in the words of my 14-year-old. What did I say earlier? What did I say? What the fuck did I say?
Republicans.
No, I said it was a pedophile show.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, God, that little baby doll.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Dave.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. It's over. Oh, that made me so sick.
As I said, this is worth the price of admission. Just trust me on this. This is a really nice relationship, these two.
And I just need everybody to know, not everybody who has a bandage on their wrist tried to kill themselves. I got a spider bite the night before I started, or it was two nights before because I went to the doctor the next day. I got a spider bite on my wrist before I started a new job where I worked with food. So I had to wrap my wrist up and wear gloves, and everybody thought that I was the brand new suicidal girl. And I was like, no, it's a pussy, gross spider bite. Do you want that in your sandwich? I mean... Some of this is a little predictable. Like, I knew that he was going to start talking again. Of course she's not going to win the pageant. I did not expect Grandpa to die.
Yeah, but you don't expect what's going to happen. Trust me on this. You don't.
Oh, I'm sure. I've got to see whatever she does. Oh, I hate the sound of children singing. It's awful.
Especially this type of singing. Now, I've worked with children's choirs, and I do it completely differently.
Yeah. It's awful. It's just so bad.
Well, that's sort of the whole point here.
No, I know, and I understand that, but I'm also saying this is exactly how these pageants are, and it makes me
absolutely
sick to my fucking core. like sick to my core. I can't handle this shit. And God, costumes like that are so expensive and so awful and so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember Grandpa
worked with her on this, okay?
I know. Like, I can't wait to see what's about to happen. I never want to do this again ever. Nope. It's about to happen.
Exactly.
I mean, I hate to say it, but bitch has got a point.
No, she has a point. Damn right she has a point.
I love her cousin it hair, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Just remember, this is for Grandpa.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. The girl that's the security person. I love her, too. You know, I never remember who anybody is, but...
Well, you know, these are working actors that have bit parts and...
All right, let's see it.
Good. Grandpa coached her.
Where is he? In the trunk of our car. It's actually a bus, honey, so... Okay.
Like I said.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. This is just, I don't even know.
Told you, you didn't expect this. I love this because the screenwriters are basically saying "fuck you" to the passage.
Oh God, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, this is, I just, wow. I don't even know, man. Keep dancing, honey. Daddy's okay.
As I said, Alan Arkin is all through this movie, even though he's dead.
Oh, my God.
Family solidarity right there.
Right. I fully expect you to do this if any of our kids ever have to get up on stage for anything.
I'm there with you, by the way. I'll find out.
Oh, yeah. You're going to chicken head and do the sprinkler. And...
You're going to have to be up
there. That's how you got to do it, yo. DMC loved it.
Absolutely.
I think we can handle that. Well, there you go. Oh, they got the door back on. Oh, they let her get in first this time. Go, 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 go. The horn. I forgot about that. That's a beautiful soundtrack, by the way.
Yeah, great soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack. We're not done, by the way.
Oh, of course not. Except apparently we are.
No, you're not. You have to go back and go through the credits. Just trust me on this.
Okay, well, let me... click on it. There we go.
So that is Little Miss Sunshine.
Great cast. Great soundtrack. Very interesting
story. And
Terrell,
I think, is really good in this, and Dano is really good. Everybody in this. The smaller parts, everyone.
Brian Cranston. Yeah. Still watching.
We're waiting for something here. I know. Usually you don't.
Oh, no, you're fine.
You don't. You would think
it
was over.
A lot.
And they did a great job. The music supervisors did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just their first film and first screenplay. I mean, this was huge. So what do you guys think? Because we have to wait until all the credits are over.
Well, I mean, I actually, I like that one a lot. I'm glad I didn't watch it until now, though, because honestly, I don't think I would have enjoyed it until now.
Well, one of the things, we're doing this because of Alan Arkin, and that character is a really fine, you know, he's got heart, he loves his family, and he loves all of
them. Yeah, and he was very wise and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know,
well,
he was also a flawed character.
Yeah, well, of course, they are all flawed, every one of them. You know, I look back at my own family and maybe not as fondly as this movie, but still, you know, you got to accept that your family is flawed and you're flawed and try. You still care about people and care about them.
Yeah.
And what you learn
now,
over
I
the
do
years.
Have to.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I have to look at some of the songs on this because I think this is another Seth John Stevens. He originally started with trying to do an album for every state,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately
yeah,
he never finished that project.
Yeah, he's in there, Chicago.
Oh, no. Well, I know Chicago. That's one of my favorite songs, but I'm saying this ending song here that they're doing, that might also be him. Yep, Seth John Stevens. I was right.
Yep.
So he never ended up finishing that project, but the Illinois album, which is the one that has Chicago on it, was just
mm-hmm.
so wonderful and so beautiful. And I am so sorry that he did not finish the rest of that project because I would have loved to see what he did for, like, Arkansas and Tennessee. Okay, so here's what we're waiting for.
Yes.
Big
oh,
beach.
Don't come on! I know that there because I've seen it.
Nope, no cutscene.
No shit. So there is a
hey,
cutscene.
That's okay. It was another Seth John Stevens song, and you can never go wrong with that. It's so gentle and soothing. So
there's a scene where they go back and they steal the trophy.
Oh, nice.
Which might have been on the DVD. I did buy the DVD.
Yeah, okay, see, that's probably it, is I bet it's on, you know, the DVD cut.
Oh, well. Still a wonderful film, say the least. So at this point, let's do a little bit of what we like to call housekeeping. And tomorrow I will be doing an interview with a very close friend of the podcast, Stephen Marshall, otherwise known as Limes Marshall. Limes was part of our group for a while. He also is the head of Ice Creams. He's a very talented writer. And we've got something that we're working on together that we're going to announce. And so you definitely want to be here tomorrow at 8 o'clock EST on Eastern Standard Time. And we'll have a good time. So
heck,
that's
yeah,
what we have
and
so far.
I look forward to tuning in for that one. Of course, I will not be on that podcast. I might call in just to say hey, but
yeah, if you can call in, definitely at least call in and say hey. Absolutely.
But
yeah,
we're going to be announcing some really cool shit in conjunction with Screams and Horror with a Twist of Limes. So there you go with that. I'm super excited. So, heck, let's just say I wish I wasn't a part of the Legion, because otherwise I would be a part of what they're announcing, like, in a heartbeat. So jealous.
Well, you are part of the Legion, and the Legion is teaming with Ice Creams and with Limes. So, you're involved.
Exactly. I'm so jealous of everybody who's not part of Deviant Legion and Ice Creams right now, because, holy crap, there is, like, some major cool stuff being announced for you guys tomorrow. So, definitely tune in for that.
Okay, fair enough. So I think at this point, first I want to say thank you, Jeremy, for being part of this.
He had to run out. He is actually feeding the dogs right now. Well, not outside. The dogs eat inside because they're big spoiled babies. But, yes, I will let him know. I know he had a good time watching the movie. He's actually seen it before. So he was in the background telling me some of the same things you were. So that was definitely fun, but he's also been policing the 6-year-old. So
okay, the other thing too, I just want to say before we go, and you know, definitely rest in peace, Alan Arkin, and to all of our listeners, please check out all the films that we've talked about: Hearts of the West, Wait Until Dark, The Russians Are Coming, The Heart is the Lonely Hunter, which we actually did a commentary watch of. And we, of course, Catch 22. There's just so many great films he was in.
And honestly, I would say that his best role is not a film role, but we talked about it earlier, and I think personally his best role is in The Kominsky Method.
Mm-hmm.
The final season is just, oh, my God, it is gut-wrenching, that show. And he's definitely my favorite character. The show wasn't the same without him, I will say that. And that's only coming on the ass end of a spoiler from earlier. Yes, he dies in the show, and it just kills me. Oh. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to watch that show again. It was wonderful, but knowing what happens, I'm good. I don't want to see that again.
Yeah. Yeah, he wonderful actor. And so with that, I think at this point, we should say good night. And thank you very much, Miss Rachel. As always, it's a pleasure to do these watches with you.
Oh, you know, it's because I love you, Carl.
I know, and I love you too. And so at this point, we're going to say good night, people. So thanks
good
for being
night.
With us. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Bye.